Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, February the 3rd. And our top story today is that a labourer from Folkestone who charged at his girlfriend with a knife and told her to drown in the bath has been sent to prison. A nasty one. Kate has been following this story for the podcast and joins me now. Kate, can you give us a little bit of background on this story?
Yes, well, Wayne Burford's on-off relationship with his partner was often violent and he had several convictions over the years for crimes he'd committed against her. These include common assault, threatening to damage property, sending a malicious communication, and engaging in controlling and coercive behaviour. His victim had successfully taken out a restraining order against him, which he breached on six occasions, but she later requested it to be lifted because she wanted to resume the relationship.
And it sounds like it all came to a head last October.
That's right. The victim had been at the hospital with a friend, but Burford was said to be very upset. He wanted her to phone him to prove where she was. And when she went out to see a film, he pestered her continuously with calls and messages. The next day when she got home from work, he questioned her about who she was with and where she was. She tried to defuse the situation by suggesting they take a bath together. That's when he told her to drown in it. He became increasingly aggressive and ran to the kitchen and grabbed a large knife and ran towards her. She barricaded herself in the bathroom and managed to message a friend for help.
And he's had his day in court.
Yes, in a victim impact statement read out in court, his girlfriend said her life had been absolutely ruined by her former partner. His defence said he was a hardworking man and father who suffered from PTSD and ADHD and that the relationship was clearly not a healthy one and one with unresolved issues. The judge sentenced 44-year-old Burford, who lives in Ford Road South, to 2 years and 3 months in prison and has given him a 10-year restraining order.
Kate, thank you ever so much. A man who caused the death of an 18-year-old woman in a crash in Canterbury has been jailed for 6 years. Footage from body-worn cameras shows Jack Cracknell telling police he was speeding at the time of the collision.
How fast were you going when it happened? Sorry? 120.
His car clipped a curb before colliding with a pub on New Dover Road in December 2022. The 22-year-old from Brogdale Road in Ospringe admitted causing death by dangerous driving.
Kent Online News.
A man's been taken to a London hospital with serious injuries after a crash in Gravesend. Police and paramedics were called to a single vehicle collision on Old Road East in the early hours of this morning. At the time of recording today's podcast, the road was still closed between Valley Drive and the turnstile. A dog's died after a fire broke out at a house in Margate. Four fire engines were called to Taddy Gardens in the early hours. Crews spent 5 hours tackling the flames and say it's unclear how it started. A woman has appeared in court for shouting racist abuse at a market stall holder in Ashford. Joanna Atkins was accused of threatening behaviour and being drunk and disorderly after the abuse in August last year. The 54-year-old, who has no fixed address and 8 previous convictions for similar offences, has been told to do alcohol treatment, rehab and pay £200. Now, Thames Water will be looking for approval for a £3 billion emergency cash lifeline in court today. The company, which covers areas around Dartford and Sevenoaks, says it'll run out of money next month without it and might need to be nationalised. Bosses need the backing of a High Court judge to greenlight the rescue deal as they battle £17 billion worth of debt. Next today, and if you live in Tunbridge, you're being asked what you think on redevelopment plans around the Angel Centre. It's been confirmed a new leisure facility is going to be created in the town, and now the council want to know what should be built on the surrounding land to the east of the High Street. Leader of Tunbridge and Morling Borough Council, Matt Borton, has been speaking all about it to Kate.
We're really excited by our redevelopment of Tunbridge Town Centre, and the survey forms an integral part of that. This is a major investment by the council that we're looking to have in the community, and it deliver much needed homes, shops, jobs, improved leisure centre and other facilities into the heart of Tunbridge. And we're really hoping that we get lots of good responses to it from anyone who lives or visits Tunbridge.
And so what sort of responses are you looking for? I noticed on the press release, you really were quite open about what the land could be turned into, you know, housing or, you know, community assets and things like that. Are there any wrong answers to the survey?
There are no wrong answers at all. We want to know what you think. We want to know what your experiences are in Tunbridge and what you would like to see delivered in this part of town. We know that there's a really really good opportunity for redevelopment here. It's the heart of the town. It's a really accessible location, and that's why we've really focused on it. We also recognise that with Tunbridge and Moreland Borough Council being the landowner for the vast majority of the area on this part of the high street, or just off the high street, what we're able to do is bring forward proposals that are actually achievable. And that's why we've launched a survey, and that's why we've really focused on investing in this part of Tunbridge.
And why is it important that people have their say?
So that you can shape your community for the future. That's what we're looking to achieve. The council is really interested in listening to people, in understanding what you want Tunbridge to look like for decades to come, and bringing forward a master plan that actually achieves everything that you think that Tunbridge should have. So really looking forward to hearing people's thoughts.
And this is part of am I right? It's the redevelopment of the Angel Centre. So the Angel Centre is going to be quite near to the existing site.
Yeah.
And it's all part of sort of that redevelopment plan.
Yeah, that's right. So at the moment, we've got the Angel Centre, which has been up for a number of decades, but fundamentally, that's reached the end of its useful life. The council has taken a decision, an in-principle decision, to look at rebuilding the Angel Centre on another site. What we're able to do is we're able to confirm that that will be in the town centre area, so not very far at all from where it is at the moment. But the specific location will be dependent upon the survey, and that's why we're really interested in people's views, because ultimately, depending on what you would like to see delivered here, gives us options in terms of where specifically we are to deliver the new Angel Centre. But we are committed to delivering a new Angel Centre, and a new Angel Centre that provides up-to-date, high-quality leisure and community facilities in the heart of the town centre.
You've got until the end of next week to have your say.
Kent Online reports.
So-called litter police, who are meant to keep the streets of Kent clean, are being accused of spending too much time targeting easy pickings. The National Enforcement System operates in Canterbury, Herne Bay and Whitstable. Figures show they've only issued 4 fines for dropping fast food rubbish in the last 2 years, compared to more than 5,600 for cigarettes and cigars. Critics say they're not addressing the problem. The council say it's only a small portion of the enforcement work their contractor carries out. A decision to close a leisure centre in Deal for 9 months is going to be reviewed later. There was a backlash after it was announced Tides would shut in April until a new operator's found to run it from next January. Those who use the pool, tennis courts and sports hall weren't happy, and Conservative members at the council called for a review. A train's had to be taken out of service after being damaged by passengers at Queenborough Railway Station. The disturbance yesterday evening caused disruption between Sittingbourne and Sheerness. Southeastern say services are now back to normal. Owners of a specific type of illegal firearm in Kent are being urged to hand them in during a month-long amnesty. It's part of a crackdown on certain brands of top-venting blank firing weapons that can be converted. From today until February the 28th, they can be surrendered without prosecution. Full details of the weapons and where to hand them in can be found at Kent Online. Now, a year after a Folkestone road was closed following a landslide, bosses have admitted it may not reopen until 2026. Tons of debris has been removed from the Road of Remembrance, while drones have been used to survey the site. Councillor Neil Baker is the Cabinet Member for Highways at the County Council, and he's been speaking to us from the site.
We had a cliff collapse here, a natural event following high winds, natural water, all culminating in what is a pretty serious collapse here, which we've been working through since on a technical basis. What solution can we find to both stabilise the cliff and get the road back and open for all types of traffic? Now we're very close to finalising the technical designs, which will mean we'll then be in a position to allocate funding, try and find the funding to do that. It has been a long process. Clearly, when a cliff collapses, you can't just act straight away. It's been a very reactive project, finding out what's needed, what the soil is there, what the stability is like, any underlying archaeology, any other geological formations there which may cause problems, and then actually working with the owners of the property at the top to find a solution which will not just be a temporary patching job, but will mean the cliff is stabilised and the road is open for the decades to come. We have thousands of miles of road in Kent we're responsible for. We've been clear from day one this isn't just any other road. It holds an important place in the hearts of people in Folkestone. This was, of course, a corner of Kent where many young people took their final journey travelling across to France in the First World War. It holds a special place in the hearts of the people of the town and their shared history. and we will reflect that as we have done throughout. It isn't just a road, it's an important piece of the local culture.
As you heard there, the road was famously used by soldiers marching to the harbour before going to fight in the First World War. The council have also told us they're in regular contact with nearby homeowners.
Kent Online reports.
A hospital has apologised to a Kent dad after his 11-month-old son was given antibiotics powerful enough for someone weighing 11 stone. Archie Moorcroft had been taken to Tunbridge Wells Hospital at Pembrey with a chest infection and was sick after taking the medication. Despite the mistake, his dad is now taking on challenges to raise money for the children's department to help them improve. The former headquarters of a fresh produce firm near Canterbury is set to be sold this year. A. Gomez Limited distributed fruit across Europe and was based in Bridge, but suddenly shut down in 2023 and more than 10 acres of land was put on the market. The sale's expected to be completed in the next few months, but there's no details yet on who the buyer is. A building material company wants to spend 16 years excavating land near Maidstone that's been earmarked for a new 5,000-home garden village. Brett Aggregates say they can extract more than 3 million tonnes of soft sand from green fields next to Chapel Farm in Lenham Heath. The firm says digging will not interfere with the housing development because they'll be in and out before building work begins. And the owners of a business in Deal have admitted it'll feel strange not to be working despite deciding to shut up shop. Skinner's Electrical Supplies has been in the high street for 14 years. Owner Keith has been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
Basically, we're past retirement, so we feel it's time to stop. Health has not been so good for us both over the last 6 months or so, which another reason. And the fact that our lease is coming up for a renewal at the end of February, we feel it's the ideal time for us to stop. The wife is pleased to be stopping. I've got mixed feelings.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's a bit of a it's a good practical reason to go, but there's an emotional loss, isn't there?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I'm going to say when you've been working like I have for 55 years in the electrical trade, it's a big loss and a big stand down from what you're used to doing day by day. I've worked in Deal for more than 14 years because I was at a previous place as well, as most people in Deal that know me. I was once up at Walmer, and it's been great. I'm going to say the public on a whole are very good. They're very nice people. And as I've said many times before, you can please some of the people some of the time, but not all of the people all the time. But we always try our best.
Well, there's always awkward, there's always difficult customers, aren't there? But the majority have been okay with you? You go on with?
Oh, yes, very much so. I want to say we've had a very lovely range of customers coming in, and they talk to us socially as well as business-wise.
Kent Online News.
It's claimed a new Aldi store in Chatham will create 50 jobs and add £7 million to the local economy. The supermarket chain is taking over the former John Fisher Catholic Comprehensive School site on the Maidstone Road. A consultation starts next week to find out what people think of the plans. It's been revealed the University of Kent is still spending £7,000 a month on a student bar, which closed down 5 years ago. The lease on the Cargo Bar in Liberty Quays in Gillingham doesn't come to an end until 2029. It comes as bosses at the uni launch a new round of redundancies. Well, reporter Joe Crosley has been out speaking to students to see what they think.
I mean, that's ridiculous because, you know, considering these days where there's not much money, you know, in these things and there's layoffs happening with jobs. I think I just read yesterday there's layoffs happening in Cardiff University. You think if they're spending, you know, if that's happening everywhere and they're spending £7,000 a month on that, they'd be wanting to put it towards, you know, something good or, you know, something good for the students. So, yeah, I think they need to kind of rethink where they're putting money.
I definitely think that they should put the students at the forefront of their, you know, their thinking. And that although maybe this was maybe a good cause once upon a time, it may no longer be the best use of the money. And so they definitely should think about the students who need the money more.
The uni says they're currently looking into alternative uses for the space. The owner of a restaurant in Whitstable loved by celebrity chef Tom Kerridge has been given permission to continue using the flat upstairs. George Begg has already invested tens of thousands of pounds converting the space above Samfire into a kitchen and food prep area. Well, the council have now approved the retrospective planning application, saying the loss of the property is outweighed by the impact it will have on the business. And one of the UK's rare rarest bat species has been found at Dover Castle. It's the first time a greater mouse-eared bat has been discovered in the county in 40 years. Conservationists say it provides hope for the future.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham's winless run has continued. They've now gone 8 games without a victory after losing 2-1 to Notts County at Priestfield on Saturday. Here's manager John Coleman speaking after the match.
Apologise to the fans for the first half performance. Started the game brightly, could have scored after a couple of minutes. Got on the front foot, Ashley's had a little burst into their box and then she had to put a great ball in and the team was just inches away from making it 1-0. Thought it was even Steven. So about 17 minutes when they scored. After they scored, we were terrible. And there's no excuse for that. We lost heart, we lost passion, we lost drive. And we got away with it. You know, the lads missed a sit at the back post. Glenn's made a decent save. And then we concede from the corner, which is poor. And then we concede a horrific second goal. Good finish by David and Goldrick, but you know, calamitous from our point of view. But the overall general play, you know, we're asking the players to inspire the crowd, and you're not going to get inspired by that. We had a very much determined game plan that they were clever enough to try and get around the press. By pulling a couple of players wide, or doubling up on the wide areas, and we never got the grips to it or for it, or we quickly lost the desire to press, and we'd looked as though it was going to work in the first 10-15 minutes. After that, we were all over the place, and there's no excuse for that. And then people will say, "Oh, it's a spirited show, second half much better." Yeah, we were much better second half. Were they coasting? So you don't know either way or the other. But yeah, there was a little bit more effort. We played the game higher up the pitch, which is a big thing. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, "Oh, well, I know it was a spirited performance. I mean, we're unlucky and all that." We didn't deserve anything out of this game today, I don't think. And I don't think it would have needed much more to have got something out of this game. At this moment in time, we can't find any rhythm. We're not capable of building sustained attacks, keeping teams under sustained pressure. You know, fans did get behind us in the second half as well. But we're not doing it anywhere near enough with a soft touch. And we've got to start passing the ball. Our passing's got to improve at least. I couldn't put figures on it, but it's got to increase dramatically. We're giving the ball away in needless areas, putting the ball out of play in needless areas. We've got to understand why we're doing whatever we're doing on the pitch, and the consequences if you're doing a high press, how it falls down if two or three don't press. We've got to understand the importance of winning games of football, and we've got to understand the importance of a game of football to our fans. And at this moment in time, I think that's gone way beyond our players at the moment. I don't think they understand the duty that they've got to the fans to perform and give it their all.
Well, the Jewels are 17th in the League 2 table. Next up, it's the long trip to Barrow, who are just one place below them. Ice hockey and Kent's Invicta Dynamos have secured back-to-back victories in South Division 1. They beat Cardiff Fire 7-2 at the ice rink in Gillingham on Saturday night before winning 4-2 away at Milton Keynes Thunder yesterday. The Mows are now 5th in the table. And finally, a Kent Wheelchair Rugby Club is looking for a new home after losing the use of their sports hall. Gravesend Dynamite Wheelchair Rugby Club has been using the Northfleet Youth Centre for 8 years free of charge. It's Vice President Daniel Grant.
We've been very, very lucky in the last 8 years where we've received the venue here at the youth club free of charge. They've facilitated storage and they've allowed us to train here, have meetings here, that sort of stuff. It's come to light that due to some KCC restrictions or family hub model, but we are no longer allowed to train here. So we are in the process of looking for venues that will facilitate us on a weekly training session and once a month matches that can facilitate storage. as you can imagine, it's been quite an impact to find out that we can no longer train here. But like I said, the help, guidance, support that the youth club have given has been fantastic over the last 8 years. In a worst case scenario, not being able to find a venue, we'll be looking at there'll be nowhere for the club to train. Members will then look at elsewhere, look at other clubs, local clubs in the area. And that's not what we're about here. We promote very much a one club, a family, and it gets people out of the house. So for us, losing the facility that we've had very gratefully isn't something that we want to expect.
Well, Kent County Council say it's down to a restructure and the club couldn't commit to working under the new model. The club are looking for new premises with enough storage for around 20 wheelchairs and rugby equipment. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials and you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.